All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf Pei Dalet. All right, we left off actually last two words on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rava. So Rava said the following. Ulechananya. So remember again, I will say we're in the sugya of the boat. So far, what we've seen over here is that a boat is not mekabel tumah. But we've seen so far two different reasons for that. One reason was mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah quoted the pasuk from Mishlei of Derech Haniyah B'Lev Yam. Right, the way of the ship is in the heart of the sea. So the Mishnah equated the boat with the sea. It just says the sea is not mekabel tumah, so too the boat is not mekabel tumah. We then saw Hananya, who went ahead and made another drasha. Right, that Hananya explained that the boat, or more specifically, eitz, right, wood, is compared to sak. Is compared to a sack in the laws of in the Torah in Tumah Tahara, and just like a sack is nital mali berekon, so just as the sack can be carried full as well as empty, and it's makabel tumah. So to earth you makabel tumah, anything an object is kato has to be able to be carried both laden as well as empty, and the boat because it cannot be carried laden, therefore halacha lemaisa it's not makabel tumah. Fine. So we saw yesterday a couple of practical differences between those two approaches. So Rava says, Amar Rava, top of Pei Dalet, Ulechananya, and according to Chananya, Tiltul Ayide Shvarim Tmeit Shmei Tiltul. According to Chananya, if you have an object that's so heavy that can't be lifted, let's say, by people, but can be lifted by oxen, right? So meaning it's not, there are certain things that are just too heavy to be moved. But if it can be moved by oxen, that's also called tilta. That's also called an object that is movable when it is laden, and therefore would be makabel tumah. So the Gemara proves this point by quoting the interesting brayso of this nan, quotes the Mishnah first. Shalosh agalosim. There are three different types of wagons. Asuya kikatedra. The first is a wagon that's made like a katedra. Rashi says katedra. Ktsara, it's small or short. Umu kefes mishalosh sladim. And it is enclosed. It's enclosed, or it's walled on three sides. So this type of wagon is what they call a chair. Katedra literally is a chair. So it's a wagon that looks like a chair. So if you have a katedra, tamei midras. So katedra is tamei tumas midras. Now remember, what's tumas midras? Tumas midras is tumah that comes when a person, let's say a zov, a person whose tamei sits on an item. That's called tumas midras. So this type of wagon is tamei tumas midras. Rashi says shel yeshiva miyuchadasi. Because ultimately, this type of wagon is made for sitting purposes. Because it's made for sitting purposes, that we're going to see about say that the common denominator over here is that an item that is made, an ikli that is made to be sat on, is mekabel tumas midras. Okay, fine. Kimita, if you have a wagon that's made like a bed, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. So Rashi says the following: Kimita shi aruha, it's long. So what happens is, like Rosa, we saw this earlier in Shabbos, that beds were often made by taking one piece of leather and spreading it over a frame. So if you have this wagon where it's one long piece, one long area, it's made with one piece of leather. So kimita, tmeya, tame mace. Then that becomes tame tumas mace. Now what does that mean, tame tumas mace? Look at Rashi. Tmeya tumas meis kilomar mikabeles shar tumos kulon chutz mitumas midras. So to see over here, tumas meis means that it's susceptible to any type of tumah through direct contact. If you were to put a corpse on it, then halacha lemaisa it becomes tame. What we call maga, but it's not mitame tumas medras. Why is it not mitame tumas medras? Because something like this is not really made for somebody to sit on. So because that's not tame tumas medras, shalavanim. What happens if you have a wagon that's there to haul stones, then to horem miklum? That's not susceptible to tumah at all. What's the pshat? This is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. V'shalavanim, hasui l'hol v'shalavanim, torem miklum, eina mikabeles shum tumah. It's not mikabel tumah at all. Why? V'fisha prutza mitachtah nekavim gidolim, v'chol klihu d'chol akelim shirin karimonim. V'lo klihu, excuse me. So listen to this. When you had a wagon that was used to transport stones, so it didn't have a solid bottom. It had slats, and the slats had big holes that had large spaces in between them. Why? Because the truth is, as long as the holes are smaller than what? The size of the stones, it works perfectly well. Now, we've learned elsewhere, we've actually seen this in Shabbos as well, that in order for a kli to be considered a kli, the holes can't be any bigger than rimonim and pomegranates. It has to be a kli that's capable of carrying pomegranates. That's because that's kli, a kli with holes that's bigger than that is not called a kli. So the Gemara says over here, therefore, this wagon that transports stones, halacha lemaaseh, is not mekabel tumah at all. Why? Because since the openings in the kli, in the wagon are so big, it's not even called the kli. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, v'im yesh beis kibo rimonim tmeah. Rabbi Yochanan says, but if there is a part of the kli, that halacha lemaaseh has what? Has openings that are only as big as rimonim, meaning if there's a part of the kli that's enclosed to the point that it could be able to retain rimonim, then what? Then tamei meis. Then halach lemaaseh can become tamei through contact with the corpse, through maga. Obviously not midras again. Why? Because it's not created to sit on. So because not created to sit on, there's no tumas midras, but there will be tumas meis. Then I will say, why is this important for us? Take a look at Rashi. But I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Alma, af agav deshal eitz iskish lesak, deba inan metalka moli verekon, vizu inan metalkalas ela ay deshvarim kamar tmeya tamiz meis. And we'll say, the reason why this is important is because this stone wagon was a very large wagon. It would not be lifted, you cannot lift it by people, but how could you move it, how could you lift it? With shvarim, with oxen. So you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan says that if you made the holes, the opening of the wagon, small enough that it could contain pomegranates, that it would be makabel tuma, which tells us, remember what Rava was saying before. Rava was saying that according to Hananya, if you have an object that can only be moved by oxen, that's considered to be a movable object that could technically be makabel tuma. The Gemara is bringing a raya, a proof to that statement, from this particular case of the stone wagon, or the wagon of stones. Fine. Shalosh table same. So the Gemara contrasts this with another braisa. There are three types of tables. There are three types of a teva is a receptacle. Is a better word. Chest. Right. Shalosh table same. Teva shepischa mitzida tamei medras. If you have a chest that has an opening on its side, then that is tamei tumas medras. So what's the pshat? Look at Rashi. Teva shepischa mitzida tamei medras. The fi shemishameshes shechiva im malachta shemishtamshin baderech pischa. Vein zarach lomar l'shochev aleha amod v'naaseh malachtenu. So because its opening is on the side, therefore what could the top be used for? The top could be used for sitting. Somebody could sit on it. And somebody sitting on it does not in any way obstruct the use of the chest itself. Because since the door for the chest is on the side, you could use it even if somebody's sitting on it. Therefore, again, if somebody could sit on an object without in any way obstructing its use, that item is considered to be only for yeshiva. It's considered to be usable for sitting. Once it's usable for sitting, then what? Then it's mekabel tumas medras. So therefore, again, in this first type of chest, if you have a chest that opens from the side, so tmeya medras milamalo, if the chest opens from on top, then tmeya tumay meis. Then it's not susceptible to medras, right? Why not? Because halacha lemaisa, it's not really usable for sitting, since sitting on it obstructs its use. Right? However, again, it is tamei tumas meis, which means it's tamei through maga. V'habob mida tahora miklum. But a chest that is very big, that's what Abba Bamida means, very big, is Tahora Miklum, is not Tame at all. Look at Rashi. Tahora Miklum, the Midras Lochazia, Hoel Bechalona Milamalo, Eina Mishamesh Shchiva Malachta, Ulashartumos Lochazia, De Eina Mital Teles Malea. So here the Gemara is bringing another ayah to this. Why is this Tahora Miklum? Because since this type of chest is not movable, when what? When it's full. Therefore, it's not nitel moli v'rekon, and because of that, it's not mekabel tuma. Tan Rabbanan, medras kli chares tar. So the Braisa teaches the following: medras kli chares. Look at Rashi. Medras kli chares tar. Shim yashav alav hazav. What does it mean? If medras kli chares means if a zav. Now zav is just one of the examples. But if a zav goes ahead and sits on the kli cheres, shim yashav alav hazav. I'm reading Rashi, medras kli cheres tar. If a zav sits on top of the kli cheres, velo naga ba'aviro, and the zav did not touch the airspace, tahor, the kli is tahor. Ve'eno mitame mishum medras, and it's not mitame to a zav. Now, also remember, a kli cheres is unique, and that is mekabel tuma me'aviro. is mekabel tumah in its airspace. Meaning, normally under normal circumstances, in order for a kli to become tameh, the tameh item has to touch the kli. Maybe the exception is tumas ohel if it's under the same roof, but generally has to touch the kli. Kli charis earthenware utensil has a separate and distinct halacha that, let's say, if a zov sticks his finger in the airspace of the kli, not even going out and touching the kli becomes tameh. So leaving that aside right now, what the Gemara is saying is, if a zov sat on top of a kli charis, the kli charis is not mekabel tumah from tumas medrus. Okay? So the Gemara says the following. Medrus kli charis dar. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afasina. Rabbi Yossi says, even the boat is tar. So the Gemara says, Maika Amar. So what exactly is this saying over here? Amar Avzvit Haki Kamar. This is what it means to say. Medrus kli charis dar. If a zov sits on top of the kli charis, it's tahor. Umago otame. But obviously, if a zov were to touch a kli charis, then what? Then that would transmit tumah to the kli. Rashi points out over here, mago otame in naga hazov bisocho. This is not talking about touching the outside of the kli. This is talking about touching the inside of the kli. If you touch the inside of the kli, you would make the kli charis tame. Uspino shel charis. However, if you have a boat that is made of earthenware, then tmeya kichananya. That becomes tame. Right, that becomes tame. Rashi's bimago. Right, if you touch it, kichananya. Like Hananya. Remember again, what did Hananya say? Because according to Hananya, Rabosai, Hananya's whole thing was that the reason why a boat would not become tame is because in order to become tame, it has to be nital mali vareka. But remember, that only applies to materials that are mentioned in the comparison to sak. Cheres is not there, which means cheres can be makabel tumah even if it's not nital mali v'rekon. Therefore, again, if the boat is, let's say, touched by the zav, it can also become tame. Rabbi Yossi says, af hasvina tahora. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says, no, even the boat is tahor. Why? Kitana didan, because Rabbi Yossi would hold like the Tana of our Mishnah. Remember, the Tana of our Mishnah says, what's the story with the boat? Right? On Yabalev Yam. Our Tana compares the boat to the sea, and it doesn't make a difference what the boat is made of. A boat is not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, Maskif la Rav Papa. So Rav Papa raised the question. He said, my af. What does it mean, af? Now remember again, what he's pointing out over here is Rabbi Yossi says, af svina. What does that mean, af? So the Gemara says, Allah Amar Rav Papa Hachi Kamar. So Rav Papa says, this is what the Braisa means to say. Medras kli charis tar. If a zav sits on top of a kli charis, that particularly is tahar, umago'o tame. But if you touch, if the zav touches the kli charis is tame. Vishal eitz, however, if the kli charis is made, vishal eitz, not the kli charis, right? If the utensil is made of eitz, then what? Bein midraso, bein mago'o tame. Then whether you sit on it or whether you touch it, it becomes tame. Usfinas hayardein, Tahora Kitana Didan. And if you have a Jordan River boat, then what? Then that boat is Tahor, reflecting the position of our Tana holds that boats are Tahor. Rabbi Yossi says, Af Hasina Tameo. Rabbi Yossi says, no, even the boat is Tame. Kichananya, like Chananya, right? Because Chananya again held, like we saw before, that Halokal Mites, it's compared to Sak. Fine. Umedris Kli Charis mean along the Tar. So also, remember, the point that we're focusing on over here is that when a zav sits on a kli charis, so the kli charis is tahar. So the shayla is, where do we get that from? Where do we know this idea that if a zav sits on a kli charis? Remember, I said the chiddush over here is that this is even obviously what we've seen so far is that if you have a kli that's not omid for yeshiva, right? If you have a kli that's not really usable for sitting, then of course halacha lemaisa it's not tomei kumas medrus. The chiddush over here is that even if you have a kli charis that's set aside for yeshiva, if the zav sits on it, the kli is not mekabel tumah. So where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, "Omer chizkiyah de'omer krak," because the pasuk says, "V'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo." So listen to this. So the pasuk says, "V'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo," literally, and a man who will touch mishkavo literally means the item that he lays down on or sits on. Yichabes bigadav will launder his clothing. Virachatz b'mayim and will go ahead and wash in water, right, which refers to mikvah. V'tamei ad ha'arev and will become tamei until the evening. I will say what this is talking about over here is this is an individual who touches the mishkav of the zav. So let's say the zav is a particular place where he sits down or he lays down. Someone else touches that couch or that bed. that transmits tumah to the toucher, right, to the person who touches it, to the point that he has to go to the mikvah and he has to take care of his clothing as well. So watch this. So that's mishiga mishkavo. Mashkish mishkavo lo. So what does the Torah do? The Torah compares the mishkav of the zav, the place where he sits down, to him, to the zav. Right? We'll say, the fact that if I touch the chair of a zav, I become tamei. So what does that tell me? What does it tell me? That the place that the zav sits takes on certain qualities of the zav. And that's why it calls, that's why it says, v'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo. Mishkavo is possessive. The zav's place of sitting. So which tells us that the zav's place of sitting takes on certain zav-like qualities. What are the zav-like qualities? So the Gemara says, Makish Mishkavolo, we compare the place where the Zav sat to him. Mahu is Leitara B'mikvah, just as the Zav has the ability to become Tara in a mikvah, Af Mishkavo Nami is Leitara B'mikvah. So too, the only thing that a Zav conveys Tumah to is what? Is the type of item that can also be purified in a mikvah. So we'll say that would by definition exclude what? Klicheres. Why? Because klicheres has no tara in a mikvah. So you hear the drasha of the Gemara. The fact that the Gemara compares the mishkav of the zav to the zav tells us, says the Gemara, that just like the zav can be tara in a mikvah, so too the only item to which a zav transmits tumah is an item that can also be purified in a mikvah. But an item that is made of a material that cannot be purified in a mikvah does not receive zav tumah. Therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest, because of this, a kli cheres will not be mekabel tumas medras from a zav. The day Rabbi Shmuel taught him, but in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught the following idea. Kemishkav nidasa yihyeh la. So we'll say this is another pasuk. So this is in, this, well, it's the same parak in Vayikra, just a couple of psukim later. So the pasuk is like this. Kol ha-mishkav, I'm just reading to you the pasuk in its entirety. Kol ha-mishkav asher tishkav alav, kol yimei zova. Anything, this is by a woman. Any mishkav that she sits on or lays on, right, that or all the days of her zivos, kimishkav nidasa yihye la. Like the sitting of her nidas will be to her. So in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they quoted the following passage: Kimishkav nidasa, yihye la, like the sitting of her nidus will be her, will be for her. Makish mishkava la. The Torah compares, and again, this is just by a female zava, right? The Torah compares her mishkav to her. Mahi isla tara b'mikvah, just as she has purification in the mikvah. Af mishkava nami isla tara b'mikvah. So too, the only type of object to which she conveys tuma is what? The type of object that can also be purified in a mikvah. And therefore, la'afuke kli cheres deles le'tara b'mikvah. And according to Sivol, it's the same limud. The same limud, they're just learning it out from two different psukim. But the point in the bottom, but the bottom line is, from both psukim, the idea that's being espoused is that the Torah links the mishkav to the person who's tamei. And the linkage, the Gemara's understanding is telling us that they share, they must share an identity. And the Gemara says the identity is just like the zav or the zava has tara in a mikvah, so to the zav or zava only transmits tumah to a utensil that also has tara in a mikvah, and therefore kli cheres, which has no tara in a mikvah, by definition will not become tamei tumas medras. Massive Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi raises a kasha. Mapos b'meis minayim. So how do we know now? Mapos, Rashi points out over here, is shalkanim, is a mat made of reeds. B'meis minayin, Rashi says, shehu tamei lefi shematzinu shepshutei kli eitz tohorin mitumas magos sheretz minayin shekli aroi lemishkav umosha mekavu tumas magos b'meis. So listen to this. So what Rabbi Loi is asking the following kasha. This is talking about a reed mat. Now, we'll say, under normal circumstances, a reed mat, which is essentially cleates, right? Which is like a wooden utensil, meaning both are coming from plants. Like, so remember, under normal circumstances, a cleates, a wooden utensil, only becomes tameh when it has a base kibul, when it has a receptacle. If there's no receptacle, it's not tameh. What we call pshute cleates. Just if you had a plain wooden board. So Allah says that would not be makabel tumah. So what Rabbi Loi says, how do we know that a mapot, a reed mat, right, which is really for sitting and for lying down, how do we know that it's mekabel tumas meis? So Masmis would literally mean, let's say, a corpse was on it. It would be Makabal Tumah. So the Gemara says, Amud Beis, V'dinhu. So the Gemara says, well, the truth is, it's a Kal V'chomer. Uma pachim kitanim shetahorin bizav tmeim the mace. So the Gemara says like this. Well, when it comes to pachim kitanim. Now, what are pachim kitanim? So, right, it's not the Hanukkah mark over here. Right, Yaakov Avinu. So Rashi says, Shalcheres. Pachim kitanim refers to small earthenware jugs. Now, Rashi points out over here, Uma pachim kitanim shetahorin bizav. Now, pachim kitanim normally become tahor from tumas zivos. Now look at Rashi. He says over here, shalcheres shetahorn bezav sheinim tmein al yodo, because cheres can't become tummy through a zav. B'shum tuma zulamidras lo chaz zulo asu lo asuyin liyeshiva va'od shehin shalcheres ubemagol lo litamu de'im matamos ela me'aviron ve'en yochol ha'achnis etzba'ol l'socham b'nei shepi en sar. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So these small utensils, because they're small, they're obviously not made for yeshiva, and therefore, again, there's no tumas medras, and the opening is too small for the zav to get his finger in, to go ahead and be metame through its airspace. So the Gemara says, when it comes to these pachim kitanim, these small earthenware jugs, shetorim bezav, temeim bemeis, yet what? They are mekabel tumas meis, mapots, shetame bezav, eino din shehei tame meis. Aye, so the mapots, this reed mat, which is mekabel tuma from the zav. Right, look at Rashi, the hachazi lemishkav, because ultimately it is usable to sit down for sitting. Uksid v'chal mishkav, or mehacha nafkulan ba'alma, the chol hametame b'medras metame tumas meis v'afilu pshutei kliyitz. So when it comes, so again, if you have pachim kitanim, which themselves are impervious to zav tuma, but yet are tmei meis. All the more so, mapots, the reed mat, shetmeya bizav, that isn't the kabal tum of the zav sits on it, eno din shiye tame b'meis, should it not be receptive to tumas meis as well? So the Gemara says, but 1 second, va'amai, but why should the reed mat be metame tumas meis? After all, or be metame tumas zav, I should say, after all, ha lesle tara b'mikva. Right, but I remember you can't be metaher the reed mat within the mikva. Look at Rashi. V'ha les leitara v'mikva. D'chi k'siv t'vila v'parsha shrots and parsha smidyan k'siva. V'hanach kelim d'ksiri hasam yalfina lu t'vila. Aval pshute kli eitz. Shelo nechtevu sham le'inyon tuma. Lo yalfina le t'vila. So we would assume it's not written in the parsha of t'vila. And therefore again, pshute kli eitz, wooden utensils do not have tara v'mikva. So also we hear what the shayla is. Rabbi Eloi is asking, you've just essentially created a paradigm where, in order for an object to go to be makabel tumas zav, then what has to happen? What has to happen is it has to have tara and a mikvah just like the zav himself. So Rabbi Eloi is just saying over here that the Braisa seems to indicate that the mapot says tami tumas zav, right? And yet what? It doesn't have tara and a mikvah. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says something very interesting. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Chanina responds to Rabbi Eloi, and he said, no, it's not a problem. Shiny hasam hoil v'iko b'mino. Not a problem, since there are other items within this same category that do have tara mikvah. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Shiny hasam deika b'mino yesh b'kli eit sheyesh lam tara b'mikvah kegon mekavlim. So, interestingly enough, Rabbi Chanina said that it's the reason why it's mekabel tuma is because even though this particular utensil doesn't have tara mikvah, this reed mat. But there are other utensils within the same category that do have tara mikvah. What would be an example of this? If you have a kli eitz, if you have a wooden utensil that has a base kibble, that has a receptacle, if that becomes tummy, that does have tara mikvah. So, interesting, Rabbi Chanina says that essentially, since it's in the category of items that have tara in a mikvah, so we give it this status as well. So he's expanding it. Now, in order for a kli to be makabel tuma, it itself doesn't have to have tara in the mikvah, but what? As long as it belongs to the category of items that have tara in a mikvah, even if not every item in that category has tara in a mikvah, that's good enough. So Rabbi Eloi says, Amrele, Rachmana litzlan mehay daita. Rabbi Chanina responded, Rabbi Eloi responds to Rabbi Chanina, the Ribono shel Olam should forgive you for giving that answer. Right, which is another way of saying, I think you might be incorrect. Right, so listen to this. So Amrele, as Adarabba, Rachmana litzlan mehaydaita. Rabbi Hanina responds that to Rabbi Eloi. The Ribbono Shel Olam should forgive you for saying that. The Ribbono Shel Olam should forgive me for giving that answer. So the Gemara says, v'taim amai. What's the ultimate logic behind this? What's his logic? What is Rashi says over here? V'taim amai. Heichal ksivut demishum de'ika b'mino afagav de'vididei leka. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Hanina, where do you come up with this idea? Where exactly do you come up with this idea that halacha lemaisa? Remember, I will say, Rabbi Hanina is espousing a very fascinating idea, and mapots is the test case. So he wants to suggest that mapots will be makabel tuma, right? Will be makabel tuma from the zav, even though what? Even though it doesn't have tara lemikva. And what's the logic? The logic of that is that since there are other wooden-like utensils that do have tara b'mikvah, so it's in the category of tara b'mikvah, even though it itself doesn't have tara b'mikvah, and therefore that makes you receptive to tumah. So Mara says, where does Rabbi Hanina get this? So he says something very interesting. So the time of I, trei kray k'sivi. There are two different psukim. Pasuk number one says, v'ish asher yigav mishkavo. Okay, first pasuk says that the person who will touch the mishkavo is the place that the zav sat or lie down on. Okay? So now remember, we'll say in this case, the Torah is using a lashon of mishkavo. Now mishkavo is possessive, which means that it is linking the mishkav to the zav himself. It's saying that the mishkav is the same thing as the zav. Uksiv, and a second pasuk says, v'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav hazav yitma. Now in the second pasuk, what does it say? Any mishkav that the zav will sit on will become tameh. So we'll say, so what's interesting about this? The first pasuk is possessive, the second pasuk is not. Okay? So what's happening over here? Look at Rashi. Ksiv mishkavo, makish mishkavo lo. In pasuk number one, the Torah is directly equating the mishkav, the place where the zav sits to him, and in the second pasuk, ksiv kala mishkav, afagav de lo domi lezav, de halo ksiv mishkavo. So pasuk number one is talking about a situation where the mishkav of the zav is exactly like him, and the second pasuk is talking about what? Where the mishkav of the zav is not exactly like him. What's a case of where the mishkav of the zav is not exactly like him? Haketzad, yesh b'mino, afagav de les tara b'mikva, ein b'mino, makish mishkavo lo. So I will say, listen to this. So the Gemara, therefore, dashes. It's a fascinating drasha. Rabbi Hanina says, the pasuk that says v'ish asher yigav b'mishkavo. What is that talking about? That's talking about a case of where mamish the kli resembles the zav himself. That just like the zav has tara b'mikvah, so to what the kli has tara b'mikvah. And what's the second pasuk of v'chol amishkav arishay yishkav alav hazav? What is that talking about? That's talking about a situation where the kli does not resemble the zav, in that the kli itself does not have tara in the mikvah. But what? But yesh b'mino. But it is part of a category in which other kelim in its category do have tara in the mikvah. And the Torah is telling me that despite the fact that this kli itself doesn't have tara in the mikvah, since it belongs to a category where other kelim have tara in the mikvah, then what? Then this kli is also mekabel tuma from the zav. Okay, and this is all based on the fact, and Rabbi Hanina is just all based on the fact, that one of the psukim is possessive, and one of the psukim is not. Rava Amar, Rava says, Medrash Kli Charistar Mehacha. Rava has a different drasha. He says, where do we learn that the Medrash, that let's say the Zov sitting on a Kli Charis, does not transmit to Tumah? He learns it out from here. V'chol Kli Pasuach Asher In Tzomit Pasil Alov. So this is talking about, the Torah is talking about over here, by Tumas Ohel. Talking about the idea that let's say if you have a corpse within a roofed structure, so remember anything under the roof with the corpse becomes tameh. So the Torah gives an exception if you have a kli pasuach, if you had an open kli, asher in tzamid pasil alav. That's what? That halacha lemaisa didn't have tzamid psil is a covering. Right? If it didn't have a covering attached to it. But you see from here is if you had a kli cheres that did in fact have a tzamit psil, that did in fact have a covering that closed it, then aloch lemaisa the kli would remain tahor. So the Gemara says, milo askinon, are we not talking about the following case? This could easily be a case of a kli, bless you, that was set aside for one's wife as a nida. And the Torah says that it's tahor. Now, what's the pshat? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Milo askinon. Milo masho mikra. Da afilo yichudo lo osakli li ishtonida. Le shev alav koyameha. Amrkra. De matzil al masha besocha ba'olames. The itame midras. Hechi matzil. Vaha kol dvar tuma in chotitz bifneha tuma. So we'll say, Rava makes a very interesting observation here. Rava says that the fact that the Torah says this in a very blanket statement, the Torah says, bless you, that if you have a kli cheres that has a cover attached to it, that kli cheres is not makabel tumah, which means that any case you're going to find, the Torah doesn't qualify that statement. So Rava says, what that tells me is, let's say this kli cheres was set aside for one's wife to sit on when she's in nida. Right, bless you. Right, to sit on when she's in nida. So what does that show? That kli cheres does not become tame. Why? Because if that kli cheres would become tame when the isha would sit on it when she's in nida, the halacha is Rashi's ein tuma chotetz bifnei tuma. Something that becomes tame cannot serve as a barrier for tuma itself. So follow this logic. Therefore, if the woman were to sit on this utensil when she's in nida and make the kli cheres tame, then what? Then if there were to be a mace under the same roof with that kli cheres, then what would happen to the kli cheres? It would contract tumas mace. Because once the utensil is susceptible to tuma, it contracts many forms of tuma. So if it became tame midras by the nida sitting on it, it would become tame mace. So working backwards, the fact that the Torah makes a blanket statement that no matter what the kli cheres was used for, if it's covered, right? If it has the tzame pesila alav, it's not mekabel tumas meis. Tells me that what? That kli cheres is not mekabel tumas medras. So again, the first drasha, to be honest, is much more direct. But this nevertheless is a fascinating drasha. One more time, because I see a couple of blank stares. So one more time with this, which is, I'm not sure if it's the time or the Gemara. So one more time. The Torah gives a blanket statement that says that any kli cheres that's under the roof with the mace, bless you, any kli cheres that's under the roof with the mace is not mekabel tuma, as long as it what? Has tzomit pesila lav. Which tells us, says Rava, that no matter what that kli cheres was used for, it's not mekabel tumas mace under the ohel. Well, Rava says, so let me choose the most extreme case. The most extreme case would be if, let's say again, one's wife, when she was in nida, sat on that utensil. Now, remember, if the utensil was susceptible to tumas medris of a nida, which is tumas zibus, if that, then what? Then that means that item would become tame from tumas zibus, tumas medris. Once that happened, once a kli becomes tame, it can no longer serve as a barrier to prevent other types of tuma from coming upon the kli, which means that if the kli was tamei tumas medras from the nida, and then someone died in that same or on that same roof, what should happen to the kli? It should become tamei tumas meis. The fact that it does not, now working backwards, the fact that it does not indicates that what? That it doesn't become tamei tumas medras either. That even when the zav or the nida sits on it, it's not mekabel tumas medras, and therefore the Torah could just make a blanket statement that as long as the kli cheres has a tzomit pesila lav, it's not mekabel any kind of tumas meis. So Rava therefore says, you see from here, this is the raya that a kli cheres is not mekabel tumas medras. So again, he agrees with the previous idea. Just again, this drasha is a little bit more circuitous. Says the Mishnah. So how do you know that if you have a patch, a garden patch, that is shisha al shisha, 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, relatively small garden patch, that what you could do with it is shizorn besocha, you could plant within it chamisha zironin, you could plant 5 different types of seeds. I will say, what the topic of this Mishnah is over here is we're getting into kilayim, right? We're getting into the fact that, remember, you are not permitted to mix certain types of plants and seeds. So what the Mishnah is saying over here is, how do you know that you could have an area of 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, and you could actually go ahead and plant 5 different varieties of plants without getting into any issue of kilayim, any issues of forbidden mixtures? So how would you do that, says the Gemara? You would do dalad al dalad ruchos. Dalad al dalad ruchos haruga. You would plant, again, 1 type of plant on each of the sides of the square. va'achas be'emtzah. So you have image in Rashi over there, right? So you see the square over there. Rashi even says on top or in parentheses, kazeh, right? In case you're looking at kazeh, like this, right? So again, each of the darkened outside walls of the square represent four different types of plant life. And that little dot in the middle represents the fifth. So adal ruchos haruka va'achas be'emtzah shene emar, because over here the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, ki ka'aretz, totzi simcha, just like the land will produce forth its simcha, literally its plant life, ukigano zeru'eha tatzmiach, and like a garden whose seeds will flourish. So the Gemara says zar'alo ne'emar, it doesn't say its seed singular, Ella zeru eha. Rather, it says it's seeds plural. So he was quoting this as a scriptural allusion to this idea that even in the gana, even in the now, we'll see by the way why the Gemara chooses shisha al shisha. Why six tefachim by six tefachim? We'll see that's maybe the most basic definition of a gina. The most basic definition of a garden is going to be six tefachim by six tefachim. And again, the fact that it says seeds plural indicates that it is a possibility to plant multiple items even in this small area. Says the Gemara, my mashma, what does this pasuk have to do with anything? I mean, it's a nice pasuk, but how exactly are you meaning? It's a little bit strange. The Mishnah says, if you have an area of six tefachim by six tefachim, you can end up planting five different types of seeds. And how do I know this? Quote the pasuk from Yeshaya. What does that do? I mean, the Pasuk from Yeshaya tells us, yes, that one garden can produce many amounts of seed. Where do you get five? So this is an interesting drasha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, listen to this. Ki ka'aret totzi tzimcha, because like the land will produce. Tzimcha, it's growth. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, totzi chat. From the word totzi represents one. Tzimcha chat. Right? Growth is one. Sahari trei, that gives us two. Zeru eha, so the most basic plural of zeru eha is seeds. Trei, ha'arba. And last, tatsmiach chad. Tatsmiach is one. And what? We add it all together. I think we could even handle this at this hour in the morning. Right, we add this all together. And ha chamisha. So the Gemara says, oh, so obviously, the Gemara is not anyway suggesting that this pasuk is mamish like a halacha l'moshe misinai. What the Gemara is just trying to explain is what exactly the Mishnah saw in this particular pasuk. So the Mishnah saw two things. The Mishnah saw, number one, the idea that within a small area, in a gina, you could go ahead and produce, you could plant multiple seeds. And number two, they found the scriptural allusion to the number five. So we'll stop over here for today. Very small garden.
I guess we're talking about that one.